Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Praise the Lord. We are blessed, and thank you so much, everyone, who puts so much into making Easter Sunday a day to remember all year long. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can open your bulletins and pull out your notes if you want the cheat sheet, because I've got the scriptures actually typed in there. Did it for the lake service. Or you can open your Bibles. That's really the best place to go. This morning, we're going to talk about what happens when a believer dies. We've been doing a series talking about heaven and eternity and what happens when we die. And I thought, you know, that's really part and parcel to what this day is all about. It's about resurrection. It's about what is going to take place in eternity. And Christ is the first fruits of those that would raise from the dead. So we remember his resurrection today. No better place to go to look at a text for today's message than 1 Corinthians 15. Pastor Jack Hibbs shares a story about years ago, scholars had gotten together and they had determined they wanted to discover what would be the top 15 chapters in the whole Bible. If you had 15 chapters to pull out of the Bible and say, hey, read these are the most important chapters in the whole Bible, which would they be? And they found out that of those 15, one of them was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible. So they decided, well, what if we took five chapters out of that list? We narrowed it down to the top 10 chapters of the whole Bible. What would those 10 chapters be? And 1 Corinthians 15 was in the top 10 chapters in the entire Bible. Determining factors would be, it tells us about our existence. It tells us about the existence of God. It tells about God's plan for mankind and for the future. All in that chapter. So then I thought, what if we narrowed it down to five chapters? You guessed it. 1 Corinthians 15. In the top five chapters in the whole Bible. Then someone thought, well, let's just narrow it down to one chapter. What would it be? The most important chapter in the whole Bible. And they were divided at that point. The Hebrew scholars said, you know, to the Jewish mind, the most important chapter in the Bible, because they don't really accept the New Testament, would be Genesis chapter 1. Most important chapter in the Bible, in the Jewish mind. But to the Christian, the most important chapter in the Bible, once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you might be here this morning thinking to yourself, I don't even know what 1 Corinthians 15 says. That's what a friend of mine said today to me this last week, rather, when I share with him this fact. He said, you know, I can't even think of what 1 Corinthians 15 says. I said, I'm going to have to go home and open my Bible and read it. I got good news for you this morning. We're going to read part of 1 Corinthians 15 to refresh your memory. But every one of you here have heard parts of this chapter. You'll remember them. In fact, if you were stranded on a deserted island and a bottle with a cork in it washed ashore with one chapter in the Bible rolled up and it was 1 Corinthians 15, do you realize you could open the bottle, read the chapter, you could get born again, you could live a life that would glorify your God for the rest of your days on that deserted island from that one chapter? That's how much is in this chapter. We're just skimming over some of the top verses of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that your word is eternal, your word is life. And Lord, your word presents to us truth in a world that is filled with deception, deceit, and darkness. And so, Father, let the light of your word shine forth upon our hearts and our minds this morning that we might understand more about your wonderful plan for us and for eternity. In Jesus' name, Christ's name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12, and after he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, whom not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace toward me, but his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we were found false witnesses of God because we have testified that God has raised Christ up, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. But if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You can read the other verses at your leisure. But I want to look at these verses. Let's just begin with the first four verses. The first four verses declare to us the three parts of the gospel of Christ. First, that Jesus Christ came and died according to the Scripture. That's the first part of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and he died according to the Scripture. Don't forget the according to Scripture, it's mentioned twice in the three parts. Why is that important? Because the cross of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, wasn't God's plan B. It wasn't an afterthought. It was actually prophesied beforehand that Christ would come and die for the sins of his people. That's the Jesus that died on the cross, the one that had been prophesied about for centuries beforehand. Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross according to the Scriptures. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He was buried, number two. He didn't just swoon and faint on the cross. He fully died. God in flesh fully died and was buried for 3 days. Number three, after the third day, he rose again, once again, according to the Scripture, according to God's plan, to God's foreknowledge, according to God's purpose, he raised Christ from the dead. Key point, and it may come as a surprise to some of you, it is not enough to simply say, I believe in Jesus. That is not enough to save you. You might be looking at me saying, that's heresy, Pastor. Look at verse 19 again. Read it carefully. It's not enough. Why? Because the gospel isn't just Jesus died for my sins. Which Jesus? Which Jesus? The one that did miracles? The one that blessed babies? But didn't raise from the dead? If it's that Jesus, that's not my Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Is it the Jesus that faked his death and the disciples hid his body and lied to everybody about him being raised from the dead? That Jesus? Oh, that Jesus isn't my Jesus, and that's not the Jesus in the Bible. But if it's the Jesus that not only died on the cross, but was buried for 3 days, descending into hell, and God raised him again on the third day for our justification, that's the Jesus that we believe in. That's the Jesus that saves us. That's the gospel. All three parts. We have to believe in all three parts. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ isn't risen, then our preaching is empty. Not just like half full. It's empty. There's nothing. You take everything out of the message. Close our Bibles. Let's go home. Nothing more to say. And your faith is also empty, he says. Again, he says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Why? Because you're still in your sins if Christ is not risen, because that means he's dead and God didn't raise him from the dead. When God raised Christ from the dead, he testified to all humanity forever, I accept that sacrifice for your sins. That's what God was demonstrating when he raised Christ from the dead. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. And God said, amen, and raised him up to eternal life so that you and I have that promise of eternal life. You see, for the Christian, death has never been seen as a finality. Before, in older times, it seemed like it was a finality, but never for the Christian has it ever been a finality. I was talking to an older saint, a dear woman in the Lord who had been married for 54 long years with her best friend and lover, and he died recently. And she is heartbroken. She is grieving. She misses him every day. But she said to me, I know when I die, and it's not going to be too long. I'm going to see Jesus, and I'm going to see the angels. But not only that, I'm going to see my beloved husband. Why? Because we have hope in the resurrection of the dead. In John chapter 14, Jesus said these words. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus rose from the dead, went to heaven to prepare a place for you and for me. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's a heavenly city. Now think about this. It took God one day to create the world and then create the animals and everything else. It took him 6 days. It's taken Jesus 2,000 years. He's been working on this city for you and I. What a glorious creation that's going to be. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So when we're young, you know, we don't think about death. Look at little Christopher over there. Death, he doesn't think about death. We just don't think about death very much when we're young. And as we get a little older, we start having friends that die, relatives that die, grandparents that die, parents that die. And all of a sudden, death becomes a little more familiar to us. But then as we age a little bit more, I am told, should qualify that, we get a little more acquainted with death because it starts to become ever personal to us. Because every one of us one day are confronted with and faced with that last enemy, death. That's why the resurrection of Christ matters. Because if he didn't get raised from the dead, and he lived a better life than any one of us here, what chance do we have? So let's talk about three reasons it matters that Jesus rose back to life. Three reasons. The first one is that God promises us a changed life here and now. Here and now. You know, a lot of times we think of you know, Christianity and Easter and resurrection and heaven is like, okay, that's something I need to kind of pick up at the door before I leave this earth, and it's going to help me in the hereafter. But what good is it now? No. It has everything to do with now. God promises us a changed life in the here and now. The same Spirit, the Bible says, Romans 8, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. As believers, that same Spirit is dwelling and living within us, and that Spirit has the power to change our lives. You know, the disciples didn't expect Jesus to raise from the dead. That's kind of the humorous thing in the whole resurrection story. They were dumbfounded by the resurrection. It caught them by surprise. They didn't expect that. They were discouraged. They were depressed. They were heartbroken. Their whole world was shattered. And all of a sudden, the resurrection changed all that. The resurrection changes things. We were at one time filled with hopelessness and despair. But the resurrection brings joy and brings purposeful living, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul had that testimony of a changed life. Think about this. The Apostle Paul hated Christians. Hated Christians. There are some here today that your story is back in the past. You hated Christians. So did the Apostle Paul. Not only did he hate Christians, he hated God. You may be here today, and at one time, you hated God. But all that changed. What happened? He met the resurrected Christ, and he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. He was changed. He was different. He was new, wasn't he? Now, he didn't deserve God's grace. But God's grace changed him. If I were to stop the message today and pass this mic around this room, we would literally be here till after the sun went down, telling stories about how the grace of God changed our individual lives. The grace of God. Think about it. Think about your life. And what is different today because of God's grace that met you at some point in your past? Bitterness, turn to forgiveness. Shame, turn to joy. Guilt, turn to freedom. All because of the grace of God. God's grace changes you. God's grace changed me. That's why we call it amazing grace. It's grace when it changes you. It's amazing grace when it changes me, because I know the difference. I know the person I was before Christ, and I know the person I am today. And that's all by God's grace. And that's how we celebrate. Secondly, the reason why it's important that God raised Christ from the dead, the reason it matters that Christ was raised back to life, was that God promises us a new body in the future. A new body. Did you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of God. When you die, God doesn't just take your body and throw it out like an old milk container out to the garbage dump. Don't need that anymore. No, not at all. What happens when your life is older? God doesn't toss your body out. He literally raises it back to life and gives us a new body. It's changed. It's new. It's different. And it's made for an eternity to spend with him in heaven. When Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the dead with a changed, new spiritual body. He touched people. He walked with people. He talked with people. People saw him. People felt him. They put their fingers in his hands. They put their hands in his side. It was a physical body of flesh and bone. They recognized him. But it was a different body. He could walk through walls. He could appear at will. He rose up from the ground and ascended into heaven. So it had other features to it that were not earthly at all. But it was still recognizable. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us here today might have something new that you purchased and wore for Easter Sunday. We kind of like that, don't we? Something new. We like wearing something new. New shoes or new coat or new dress. And it kind of makes us feel a little bit new, don't it? But imagine when you get a new body, whoa, you're really going to feel new then. And Paul reminds us that God has a new body that he has fashioned for us to spend eternity with him. Let's continue reading in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll start at verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And amazingly enough, as we found out from the first verses that we read in 1 Corinthians 15, there were some there in Paul's day, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe it. They wouldn't believe that they get a new body in heaven either. And there are many today that still don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. There are many people today that don't believe that God promises them a new body, that a body like Jesus when he rose from the dead. Wow. But God has that promise that he gave to us of a new body. Why? Because he's got a new world and a whole new universe for us to explore. We're going to need a new body to do it in. And that's good news. Thirdly, the reason it matters that Christ rose back to life was that God promises to take away the fear of death. God promises to take away that fear. And that's really the greatest fear that people have, is the fear of death. And death, quite frankly, here's the bad news. It's getting closer for every one of us every day. Death is getting closer. But I want to tell you this. This is the good news. For the Christian, death can never come too soon. Think about that. For the Christian, death can never come too soon. For the non-Christian, it can, sadly. But for the Christian, death can never come too soon. And there may be some here that won't be with us next year. We can't always take that for granted. At the lake service, a guy named Jim Fields, he used to come every year. Every year, saw him on Easter sunrise service. He was kind of a mainstay. He wasn't there this year. I did his funeral service just a few months ago. But you know what? I know where he is. He's rejoicing in heaven. But his widow, for her, death came too soon. But not for Jim. Jim is happy. He's rejoicing where he is today. For the Christian, death is just a shadow. The Bible talks about death being a shadow. You know, remember the 23rd Psalm? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." But there's another word in that part of the psalm that I want you to think about. "Yea, that I walk through." You see, the Christian doesn't stop in the valley of the shadow of death. we simply pass through the valley. Why? Because we're following our shepherd. He's leading the way. He's holding our hand. He's guiding us through the valley. He is the good shepherd. Let me ask you a question. Do you know him? Is he your good shepherd? Listen. Verse 54 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, so when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So God has taken the fear out of death, and he's given to us in its place a reason to celebrate. A reason to celebrate. Because he lives, I can face whatever life throws at me, even death. So I don't know the circumstances of your individual lives. You know them. But whatever you're facing in life right now, whatever it is, and you may be afraid of whatever that is, I want you to know that you can face that because he lives. He's already taken care of your biggest enemy, death, and he is faithful to help you to walk through every other valley that you are going to walk through in this life. He's faithful. He's faithful. And he's walking through those valleys with you. Key point, Jesus rose from the dead. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? That's really the point. Is he your Savior? Recently, my mom was in the hospital. Some of you know she was in and out of ICU, in and out of the hospital. She's in a nursing center right now recovering, and she had to go on a ventilator. And to go on a ventilator, you got to go under anesthesia because you couldn't tolerate that thing in your throat. And so she's there and under anesthesia for 2 days and under the ventilator. And finally, we're able to get the ventilator out and bring her back to consciousness. And she says, oh. She says, I had this vision. I saw these two angels. And they came for me. And they were carrying me up to heaven. And then I came back and I'm here. I don't want to be here. I want to be up there. But she was amazed. She kept on saying, I was going up, not down. I went up, not down. She didn't see heaven. But she knew where she was going. She knew she was going up. That's the right direction. And that's the assurance that she needed. One of my favorite vacation spots is Cancun. I love Cancun. If you've been there, you know why. It's warm there. It's beautiful there. You can lay in a hammock and there's a gentle breeze. Oh, life is good. Get a light, nice refreshing drink and just lay there enjoying this rocking motion. Ah, not a care or a worry in the world. Kind of reminds me of being in my mother's womb. Yeah. Remember back then? No. But if you could, you were like being in Cancun. That's why we must like it so much. You're rocking back and forth. Not a care in the world. Ain't got no worries for the rest of my life, you know. You're drinking. Everything you need is being given to you. You don't have to share a thing. You are there in peace and tranquility. It's warm and cozy. And all of a sudden, the water breaks. Wait a minute. What's happening? What's going on? This wasn't supposed to happen. Hey! Stop pushing. Somebody's pushing on me. Stop that. And then all of a sudden, whoop, out comes a hand. Oh, it's cold out there. You want to pull it back in. And then there's light at the end of the tunnel. What's that? And then your head pops out, and there's all these people, and they're looking at you, and they're smiling, and they're crying, and they're clapping, and they're all sorts of commotion. It's like, who are these people? What's going on? They're waiting for you. They've been expecting you. They wanted to see you, and they are welcoming you into our world. Now, if you were to ask a little toddler if they wanted to go back to mommy's womb, they'd say, no way. Life is good. Why would I want to go back to my mother's womb? Life is great. And it's the same way for my mom. My mom didn't want to come back. She wanted to stay there. And it's the same way for any that are there in the presence of God. Why? Because the key point here is the bodily resurrection of the dead is central to the Christian faith. This is central to our faith, is the resurrection of the dead. And today, we're reminded of that wonderful truth. Jesus said these words in John 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, Jesus says, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Recently, I went to the doctor for my annual physical. They ask a lot of probing questions, don't those doctors? They're always asking these probing questions. Pastors are like doctors sometimes. We ask those probing questions. Do you know him? Do you know the Son of God? You know, for a doctor, he wants to know the answer to these questions because it's a matter of life or death. For a pastor, he wants to know the answer not because it's a matter of life or death, but it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Yeah. Do we know him? What's going to happen when you die? You know, we don't know how we're going to die. Not one of us do. We don't know where we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. But we can know what will happen after we die. Every one of us can know that. It's in your notes, 1 John chapter 5. To me, it's some of the most powerful words in the entire Bible. Verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony. John says, okay, I can sum it up here. This is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Charles Spurgeon once said this: Jesus died to subtract our sin from us, and Jesus rose from the dead in order to add his holiness to us. So what happens when a believer dies? What happens? He or she passes through the valley of the shadow of death, following their good shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is there to greet them when they pass through the other side of that dark valley. He dies without fear. Why? Because he has confidence that because Jesus died and he was raised to life again, that when the believer dies, they too will be raised to life again. They're going to live together with them. And the believer, when he dies with expectation. Why? Because he knows I'm getting a new body. That one that failed me down there, I'm leaving. I'm getting a new one in heaven to live forever. And I'm going to live in a new city that Christ has made for me, called the New Jerusalem, that's coming down out of heaven to a new earth. Wow. How cool is that? What a glorious future we have, all because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, we recognize that faith in your death, your burial, your resurrection is essential to our salvation. And I just want to encourage each one here as we close in prayer. Do you believe those three things? Not just mentally assent to them, but do you really believe them? Would you give your life if someone were to hold a gun to your head and say, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, knowing that they're going to pull that trigger if you say yes? That's the kind of faith that saves. Do you have that faith? Because that's the kind of faith that changes us. Oh, Lord, I thank you that that faith is a gift from you. And all we have to do is come to you and ask you, just ask you, Lord, give me that faith to believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Lord, I believe. Say that with me. Lord, I believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.